Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 138. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Me and you were just bumming out before the show talking about this wonderful, wonderful snow coming to the Northeast. So all you Florida snowbirds, don't be sending us teasing emails because we're going to be mad.
Yeah, this is the time of year where it really hurts not to be living down south somewhere, that's for sure.
Yeah, our good buddy John Peters sent me a margarita picture. He's drinking a margarita at World Showcase, telling me he has my margarita for me.
Yeah, he just got in from shoveling and salting and all that good stuff. So it's fun living up here in New England this time of year.
Yeah, I hear you, Dan. And New Jersey's, you know, not much better. We get hit by the same thing as you, just different storms hit us differently.
Right, right. You get it first, and we get it up here.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get them worse than us. It all depends. The worst ones are the ones that we're going to get now is the ones coming up the coast.
Right, right.
They get all that moisture off the water. They kind of hit us like a snow hurricane.
Yeah, I'd still rather have a Florida hurricane than one of these nor'easters. These are brutal.
It's just cold. It's nasty. You don't want to do anything. So.
I know. We were doing so good without snow, too, and I guess we were going to pay at some point, and it sounds like we're going to pay big time the next couple of days.
Well, I told our good buddy John Peters to hold the margarita for me, because I will come down and drink it with him one of these days.
There you go.
So, you ready to get into a little news, my friend, before people start telling us to quit crying about our stupid weather?
Yeah, right. Nobody wants to hear our problems.
You know, I would like to be a weatherman in another life. They make millions of dollars, and they never have to be right.
Exactly. If they're right 50% of the time, they're considered experts in their field.
Oh, they always get away with it. Well, what happened is the low pushed this trough out to sea, and that's why it didn't rain today when I told you it was supposed to. So I rescheduled my schedule, Mr. Weatherman, 3 different times because I have outdoor work to do because you keep telling me it's going to rain and it doesn't.
Well, I'm hoping they're wrong this time. Let's hope they're wrong with this storm that's coming up the coast.
Oh, hopefully they're wrong. Like, do you know the weatherman, John Blairish? You ever hear him?
No.
Years ago, he said we were getting like 2 foot of snow and we didn't get any. he literally left after that and moved to New York City.
Really?
Yeah, he took a job in New York City after that. So hopefully we have a John. He's back here now, but hopefully we have a John Blair's weather forecast and it's wrong.
We can only hope.
So, but let's get into some news, my brother.
Yeah, a couple of things here going on in the Disney Fair, if you will. WDW News Today is reporting a ticket price increase in mid-February, which isn't news at all. That typically happens a couple times a year. But a couple of interesting things in there that this hasn't been confirmed by Disney, but they're saying that this is part of this upcoming ticket price increase. They're going to have a water park hopper ticket option for single day tickets and potentially as an add-on to other tickets as well. So this is something new that we haven't seen before. And for those that enjoy the water parks or may want to do multiple water parks during their trip, this might be a good thing. Second thing, which is really shocking to me anyways, is they're saying that they're going to be discontinuing the option, the no expiration option for your tickets. So what that means is when you buy, if you don't have an annual pass or something like that, if you buy a 10-day ticket and you, you know, the old system, I guess, or the way that it worked is for an extra fee, you could make them no expiration so that if you came back on another trip, you could use your tickets. Well, they're saying that with this new increase and in coming in February, that you'll no longer be able to purchase the no expiration option.
Well, I mean, I'm crying to get rid of Park Hopper, and they're adding more.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, it continues to nibble away at the benefits and flexibility. I mean, you know, we've seen over the years, you know, just the tickets, you know, it just gets less and less, I guess, that
they're,
you can
They're just getting to the point where they're just gouging you every which way they can, and I mean, I still believe that the tickets should be non-expirational. I don't understand how they'll still charge, because people are buying the two-week ticket trying to save money and adding that on there. God forbid we all save money anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, things happen. People get sick, whatever. I mean, you know, it just, you know, it stinks if you shell out that much money. And, you know, even if you have 2 or 3 days left on a, you know, a 7-8 day ticket or whatever it might be, you know, it always used to be, at least the way I, you know, when I used to buy Park Hoppers and stuff like that, you know, you always felt good no matter what. You knew that ticket was good forever. That was the thing with Disney. If you bought a ticket, you know, you used to be able to, it was good forever and ever and ever. You could go back 20 years later and still get into a park. But those days are long since gone. And if this is true, you know, you're not going to have that flexibility either.
No, we, so long ago, it was so awesome. We had one trip, actually two trips where, each time I bought the extra couple days onto the ticket because they were non-expirational, like, because you could do up to a 10-day. If we were only going for 6 days, I would always buy the 10 for me and Bren. And then there was a couple times where we did another trip where I bought the tickets again, and then we had 8 days left to go again.
Right.
If that
right.
makes sense to you. And it was nice to actually be able to manipulate. And they should be happy that you're trying to plan to come down to use these tickets. I mean, how much more – just the money you spend in there. So they're worried about you having 2 days left or 3 days left if you only go a week and get the 10-day ticket and bought the no expirational, that you're going to come back and get 3 days for like 10 bucks a day or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's – again, it's just – watering down of the tickets, if you will. I mean, it used to be that it was a better value than it is now, and it's just like the dining plan or anything else. It just continues to shrink and shrink and shrink in Disney's favor and giving like less flexibility to the guests.
Yeah, now they're going to add – and now how much are they thinking that the prices are going to go up?
Yeah, they didn't publish that. You know, usually it goes up, what, 3% to 5% on average. So, you know, we'll see where it ends up. But they didn't publish what the prices were going to be.
They used to always go up in August is when they would go up.
Yeah,
that's
annually.
What I remember, annually.
Yeah.
And now it's twice a year. I mean, why not once a month they just re-regulate them?
Yeah.
I think what they should do after you pay, then charge an extra when you go through the gate.
Oh boy.
Maybe you have to tip the attendant as you're going in, too.
Yeah.
And then I think they should also, to really help them out, I think what they should start doing is put like little tip jars in every ride. So maybe you can give them a little more money that they need.
Yeah, there you go.
It's getting to the point where it's ridiculous.
Well, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's a business and it's supply and demand. And until people stop going, they're going to continue to do this, and I don't think people are going to stop going. So we're our own worst enemy when it comes to this stuff.
No, we're not going to stop, but it's like it's getting to a point where you can't tell everybody. Like my thing was always, it's cheaper to go to Disney World than it is to go to the Jersey Shore.
Right.
Well, it's getting to the point where it's not, because a lot of the shore rentals and stuff like that are going down because they aren't getting that money anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, it's crazy, but, you know, what are you going to do? Let's
try.
See. Yeah.
Like I'm doing.
Right, right. Get a side job so you can afford the tickets, right?
Yeah, pretty soon everybody's going to have to buy an annual pass, and that's going to be the only way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much where we are now. It's almost, not almost, it is cheaper that way, where we tend to go twice a year. We just, you know, pony up, and luckily we were able to get the discounted DVC passes. But, you know, even at that, it's expensive.
How much is it a year for your pass?
Oh, you would have to ask me that.
Roughly. I'm not going to hold you to it. Just like I didn't know the exact inches that John predicted the snowstorm. It was
right,
just a guesstimation,
right.
John.
Yeah, it's under 500 bucks, 400 and something bucks, I'm going to say. But don't quote me on that. You wouldn't mind. I just bought three of them a few weeks ago. But, you know, it's still expensive, especially if you have a family of four or whatever. You know, it's almost a couple thousand bucks anyways.
Yeah, you just dropped $1,500 on three tickets almost.
Pretty much. Rough math, that would be accurate.
Yes. Yay, Disney.
Let's see here. Moving along. Last week, I don't know if you saw this, Doug. I thought it was kind of interesting. WESH2 down in Florida had a news story come out. I guess Disney filed some paperwork having to do with the Avatar Land, and they're saying that the code name for this project, Avatar Land, is Morpho, M-O-R-P-H-O. That was what was on the papers that were filed with Disney. I'm not sure what type of permit it was. I mean, obviously, they're well into construction.
So I guess we'll be calling it Morpho Land from now on, Dan.
Right, right. I don't know what that what Morpho represents. I tried spelling it backwards. It doesn't make any sense. So maybe we'll find out down the road exactly what the little inside joke is.
So for now on, we comment on Avatar Land. We'll have to call it Morpho Land.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, though. If you go to the link on that Channel 2 there, they actually did a whole story on it and showed the documents, and it was pretty interesting.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Morpho Land when it's done.
Yeah, whatever they call it, right?
Yeah, hopefully it makes these ticket prices worth more.
Oh, by the time that opens, we'll have probably 6 or 8 increases under our belt.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Star Wars Land for it, not Morpho Land.
Okay. let's see, moving along. Liberty Tree Tavern will be closing for a lengthy refurbishment later this year. The closure is scheduled to begin on July 6th and run all the way through to November. So that's pretty extensive. Not sure what's going to happen in there, but there is some rumors out there that there may be some new dining experiences coming to the Adventureland area of the park. So this may or may not have something to do with those rumors.
Yeah, I don't get that. But I mean, I'm happy they're redoing it. Is it going to be down for Thanksgiving?
It comes back up on November 21st, so just before.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Could you imagine cause, that? Because that just wouldn't be right with that closed during the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, that's very popular for, you know, that type of fare. And, you know, the Magic Kingdom is kind of starving for sit-down restaurants anyway. So that would be a huge, if that wasn't available, that would be huge.
Yeah, I'd be upset. I know that's Scott's favorite restaurant.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's kind of fun. That restaurant, either people love it or people hate it. There seems to be no in-between there.
Yeah, I mean, I like it, but I mean, it has good food in it. It's just that, like I said, for some reason, I think it's mind over matter that
right.
I feel tired every time I eat there.
Right.
With all the turkey and stuff, with the tryptophan, the whole nine yards, I feel like I'm, I don't know, I just feel sluggish after I eat that big Thanksgiving Day meal.
Right, and, you know, depending on the time of year you go, if it's the middle of the summer, that, like you said, the Thanksgiving fare, if you will, that can weigh you down regardless of the tryptophan or anything else.
Oh, exactly.
So, anyways, that's going to – we'll have to keep our eye on that to see what you know, changes occur inside and whether or not it becomes character dining again. We know it used to be, and they got rid of that, so – it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, well, it ought to be. It's a nice restaurant. I would recommend people go there. I know Scott, it's like always in his top couple. So it's every trip for him.
Right, right.
So
let's see. Special offer for Cirque du Soleil La Nuba for Florida residents. From January 20th to March 28th, Florida residents can purchase Category 3 seating for $49 plus tax. Yeah, category two seating for $69 plus tax, and then category one for $89 plus tax. So I don't know if they're struggling to get folks in there or they're just trying to drum up business. Not really sure, but if you're a Florida resident, you could see this show at a reduced cost.
Well, I think everybody's struggling to get business down there with all the construction going on. Come on, we've been down there our last two trips. I drove around there. It's like one of those places where I used to love to drive to. Now I totally 100% avoid going there at all costs with the construction going on around there. So I think they're trying to attract people just to come by with everything going on down there.
Yeah, I mean I've seen the show years ago. I haven't been back, but it's a pricey ticket to pay full price, and I guess they're just trying to reach out to some of the locals down there and fill some empty seats.
Or get people like you to come back and see it again because, and have, maybe you couldn't justify it for full price, but maybe you'd say it's worth it to see it for the reduced price.
Yeah, only problem is I'm not a Florida resident, though.
No, but there's a lot of them down there that are, like people like you that have already seen it. Wait, you know what I mean? Trying to lure them back.
Yeah, I know we talked about this on many, many, many podcasts ago, but that is a good show. I mean, I went into it very skeptical, and I came out kind of blown away at how good it was. And again, I hate to shell out the money to see it, but I would definitely go back there. I will definitely go back there at some point. It is a great, great show.
Again, it's with me, it'll be another thing with me moving there. It'll be worth it more because you already own your season pass, so putting out that $50 or $60, depending on set wherever you want to sit, it don't hit you as bad. But when you're down there and you're on a week's trip, first you're trying to squeeze it in. Second, you're trying to justify it after you drop anywhere between 3 and 5 grand.
No, you're right.
But if you live around the corner on Ponciana Boulevard and you say, honey, let's go have dinner and a show it and see it. It's a nice weekend, nice night out on the weekend.
Absolutely.
So I could see where what they're trying to grab here, what demographic they're trying to get, trying to get people to come out for the weekend.
Makes sense. Okay, moving along here. Just a couple of discounts that are going away or are going to be reduced for annual pass holders. The mini golf discount that had been 50% for many years has now been reduced to just 15%, and that applies to both the Winter Summer Land and the Fantasia Gardens mini golf courses. And also the marina boat rental discount has been reduced from 30% to 15%. So again, they're chipping away at the discounts, and we talked about the tickets earlier and the non-expiration. Now here's a couple of things that, again, not a big deal overall if you look at them singularly, but if you add them all up to everything else they've taken away over the past several years, it's getting a bit frustrating.
I know. I think they should just open up their own We Need Help Disney charity. And just, let us donate to it. At least maybe we can get a tax write-off on it if it's charity. So, I mean, why don't they just let us donate money to them every year to help them out? I mean, because they need it. I know they're really, really struggling down there. They've only made billions of dollars in profit the past few years. I mean, they're hurting. Bob Iger, if you need, just put that donation little, put it on, make a website that all of us can donate an extra. We maybe do like you do with the church. Maybe we tithe, what, 15, 20% of our salaries every year to Disney.
Well,
Besides that.
that's what I was going to say. They might as well just send out like payroll deduction forms or something like that so they can just take 30% of your income and just be done with it.
Yeah, Disney, 1099.
There you go.
At least we get something back out of it. I mean, how much more can they try to bleed from us?
Yeah, no, I know. It's ridiculous, but again, like
we're
I said,
addicted. We're going to keep coming back, and the show's 90% positive, but we can't. We try to. We love Disney. That's why we're doing this. We can't wait to go again. I can't wait to start planning my next trip. But it just, we got to say it when we're not happy with it. Just because you're not happy with it, don't mean you don't still love it. But it's getting to the point where how much more can they take from us? You watch them buy Marvel Comics for $1 billion, and it's pocket changing them.
Right. Well, again, we keep, we covered on previous podcasts. We've been, amazed at all the construction that's going on. That, everything that's going on cumulatively is billions of dollars. And, at the end of the day, the guest, us, we're going to pay for it.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, and I know they're way better than I am, but a friend of mine, Bob, always told me there's being a pig and then there's being a hog.
Right.
Yeah, and they're starting to become hogs down there.
Right.
Where they want everything. They're going to put a 20% gratuity on top of your counter service soon.
Yep.
I mean,
it's crazy.
It's to the point where it's out of hand. I mean, I understand they're doing all this, but they're making money hand over fist. They could leave ticket prices at $100 for the next 20 years and they'd still make the same. They'd make a gazillion dollars. They would make profit because more people would come. It's like they're trying to keep people away, the way I look at it, with some of the things they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think there'd be a breaking point at some point, but it just doesn't appear that it's there yet. And I'm sure they got smarter people than us that are doing all these statistical analysis and, crunching the numbers, if you will. And they can justify this and think that they can still be profitable, which they are.
Well, just like because I listened to WDW today and they commented on the DVC at the Polynesian, the new huts out on
the bungalows.
Yeah, the new bungalows. And they were saying you could buy three houses for the price of one of these bungalows.
Right.
I mean, they're going to be sold because the creme de la creme, the richest of the rich, will buy them.
Right.
But it's just the point. There's how are we? I mean, just the prices on them. I forget it was $7,000 to stay there for the week or something. Then I mean,
oh yeah, it was
or more than that. I forget the exact numbers, but it was insane.
Yeah, depending on what season you're staying in, it was anywhere from like $1,800 to $3,000 a night.
Yes, so $21,000 to stay for the week is that was my point.
Right,
I
it's
mean,
crazy.
Holy moly! I mean, if you figure that out. $21,000, I mean, it's insane.
I know. I don't think I'll be staying there anytime soon.
I'll never, unless I hit that Mega Million or Powerball or, the Jersey Scratch 5 or something. I'm not staying. I don't even know, to be honest with you, at this point, for that kind of money, if I would stay there.
Yeah.
It's insulting. You're telling me I could take 10 families that need to go and put them up at Riverside for a week, if you understand what I'm saying for that
month. Yeah, no, you're right.
Underprivileged families or kids, you could do so much. I mean, spending that for a week there is like a slap in the face.
I know. It's crazy.
I mean, and they're beautiful, and everybody was excited about them being there, but, I mean, the tree houses we thought were expensive. The tree houses are nowhere near in that category.
No, you're right. They're affordable compared to these.
I mean, they're like bargain basement compared to them.
Right.
It's like everything they're doing, I don't understand. I mean, it's. I don't know where the money's going to continue to come from.
I don't know either, but apparently they figure they can get those prices.
Well, they're smarter than us. I know
I
that
guess so.
For sure. And we're sorry to make this Debbie Downer podcast.
No, just giving our opinions. That's all. Let's see. Stores that will be opening for the first phase of Disney Springs at the Landing. We've heard about some of these, but some we have not. I'll just run down a list of the stores that will be opening. The Apex by Sunglass Hut, Havaianas, which is a flip-flop store, I guess, where you can create your own flip-flops. The Art of Shaving, which I know we mentioned in a previous show. Sanuk, which is creatively inspired shoes. Chapel hats and headwear, obviously. Sound Lion, that's going to sell headphones, earbuds, all your technology type stuff. In Erin McKenna's Bakery, New York City, which is a gluten-free vegan bakery, which this Erin was formerly from Baby Cakes, New York City. So I don't know if she struck out on her own or this is a spin-off of the Baby Cakes franchise, but that'll be opening during the first phase of the Landing down at Disney Springs.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm interested in every single one of them except for the flip-flop joint. I can honestly say I've never had a pair of flip-flops on my feet. And I'm proud to say that.
Right.
Yeah, and it's one thing I don't do. I don't do the flip-flops. It's sneakers or shoes or boots for me. Thank you very much. And shoes at work once in a blue moon. So.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, the other stories out there is just more of the same. Construction at Disney Springs continues. We covered the Flower and Garden Festival concert series on last week's show. We went over the bands that would be playing and stuff, and we gave you the dates for food and wine and all that. So that's pretty much it for news this week, unless you have something, Doug.
Well, the only thing I was excited about is, did you see the photos of the new boat over at the Disney Springs for the new restaurant there, the Land restaurant?
Yeah, I did see that. Again, I just kind of put that all in with the ongoing construction over there. But yeah, that it looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it really looked nice. I'm excited about the boat over there at the Boathouse restaurant.
Yeah.
They really look nice. It's different than I thought they were going to be. The style of the boat. They look like a pontoon boat with a roof on them.
Right, exactly. I don't know. Maybe there'll be similar boats out there in the water. Who knows?
Yeah, they are antique looking. They're not, that wasn't a total pontoon boat, but they have kind of that feel to it. The pontoon, the roof on it kind of reminds you of like a pontoon boat.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
They're kind of being made to look like they're a lot older than what they are.
Right.
You know? So that's it for the news, my good buddy.
Okay, that sounds like a plan to me.
Now we're going to do our little game that we play here on WDW Main Street. We're going to do a little, we're going to have a little fun with the first thing you think of, Dan.
Okay.
Sound like a good time to you?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, well, now we're going to give our love for Disney. We spewed hatred. And please, Disney, if you're thinking about adding us to your next photo, I mean, what is it, the publicity passes, our credentials,
right.
Our news pass, our media pass? Please don't listen to that first part of the show.
No, we just say we criticize because we love.
Absolutely. We would love our media credentials, though, one of these days. But, you know, we have to call it like we see it. And things are getting a little out of hand.
No doubt.
So I won't ask you what's the first thing you think of when I say park ticket prices rising.
We've covered that.
Exactly, to an extent. So I'm going to go first for you, Dan. I'll give you the first one.
All right.
What's the first thing you think of when I say Disney Springs?
I think of food, additional restaurants, exciting new things to do down at Disney World. I've always liked the downtown Disney. I don't mind going in all the little stores and stuff like that. So we would go at least twice a trip, sometimes even three times, depending on the weather. So I think the fact that this new Disney Springs is coming into being complete. It's exciting because there's just going to be more to do down there, more restaurants, and you know, I just think that it's exciting to have all this stuff going on down there, and you'll be able to spend a day down there easily. I mean, I could spend a day down there even before all the downtown Disney became Disney Springs, but now with all this stuff going on, I mean, it's going to take several trips just to experience all the restaurants and you know, everything it's going to have to offer once it's done.
Yeah, because you have the same problem I do. I think you're even worse than me and Brenda. You have troubles eating at different restaurants. Once you get addicted to certain ones, you don't like to change.
No, it's true. And, you know, we already know of two or three restaurants that are going to be opening this summer. And, you know, I'm not eating at any of those. I don't know if they'll be open. I don't think so by the time we get down there anyways. But, you know, certainly for our fall trip, you know, we're going to have to try to see if we could at least pick one of them off the list.
Yeah, you have to try that. And the first thing I think of when at Disney Springs is I'm excited because, like you or Saratoga Springs DVC owner, I basically call myself a Port Orleans Riverside owner. I spent enough money there that I think I own part of that.
You do.
Yeah. I mean, 20 stays there, I think I own quite a bit.
Right.
You know, I spent, if I added all that up, I could pay my house off
Oh, yeah.
for the amount of times we stayed there. But I'm excited because, like you, we go 3-4 times a trip, and that's one of the beauties of staying at Riverside or Old Key West or Springs or, you know, French Quarter. I consider that as part of that resort, like Boardwalk has their whole area. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, you need to use watercraft or you need to take the new footbridge over there. It's not quite as convenient as Boardwalk, but I tend to agree with you that that's pretty much going to be looked at as an amenity for Saratoga Springs, particularly if you're staying in the Congress Park part of the resort, because that's the buildings that are actually right on the waterway that you can see Disney Springs from.
Yeah, I consider it like an extension of all them resorts. It's like it's part of them. I mean, even though the boat's fun.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
the whole thing about it adds to it. I think that's, I mean, besides the beauty of Riverside and French Quarter, I think also the added convenience of going to downtown Disney is what makes those resorts the highest grade of modern resorts because of all that you have. You don't have to worry about driving. You want to go out and have a couple drinks and eat dinner and it's so convenient to stay at those resorts.
Right, and obviously the downtown Disney bus stops, you know, you can go anywhere on property from there. So that's another bonus. Like if you had dinner reservations at, you know, Animal Kingdom Lodge or whatever, you can, you know, grab a bus right from down there and head over to any resort, which if you're at your, you know, resort wherever you might be staying, you know, you can't get a bus from resort to resort. So that's another added feature of going to the Disney Springs District.
Yeah, and I don't care what any, and I like a lot of people like love Disney transportation. I do too. I enjoy riding on the buses once in a while, but the buses are nowhere near the amount of fun the riding on the boats are. And that's my whole thing with the, it's you enjoy riding the boat to downtown. I know you can get to downtown for Caribbean Beach or any of the other resorts by bus, but there's something special about taking the boat back and forth to me.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, the friendship boats, if you're in, you know, you're staying at an Epcot, you know, beach club, yacht club, boardwalk, or whatever. I mean, any of those resorts, it is, you know, obviously it's more fun taking the boat. But, you know, to me, the buses, I mean, it's something that I've always done since trip one, and it just reminds me so much of Disney. And I don't really mind them. I, you know, take it for what it is. It's a bus, I get it, but it's a Disney bus.
Yeah, I don't mind them either, but I prefer the boat ride. The Sascoola boat ride up and down the river is amazing to me. It's like it's one of the added treats to the whole trip, and I can't wait to be going back and forth and see the whole, like when you come down the river and you go into the lights at nighttime when downtown starts to show up after you go past the tree houses and all. I'm so excited when Disney Springs is finally done to actually see the sight lines and what it's actually going to look like. Because I know you've done it before. Isn't it amazing when you're going through that dark canal down the Sascoola River and then all of a sudden the big lake opens up and you see everything with the lights and all?
Oh yeah, when them neon lights come into view, it's, you know, you're coming, like you said, you're coming out of almost pitch darkness, and when you come upon that, it's quite a sight.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it come to fruition. All right, give me your first one before we go an hour on this one.
All right, I'm giving you a wide, wide berth here, so I'm not going to be as specific as you were, but what do you think of when I say palm trees?
Palm trees. I think of the Yacht and Beach Club area. That whole beach area there around where the pool is and all, when we walk around the boardwalk area, when you know where I'm talking about before you get the International Gateway.
Yep.
They have the palm trees right there on the beach there, and I think about the kids watching the movies at night, the hammocks, that whole area there. Just that's the first thing I think of when you say palm trees.
Yeah, no, that's a good one, and you're right with the hammocks there and that whole beachfront area. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of different things, even like Old Key West or something like that, where you know there's a lot of palm trees there. You know, obviously Caribbean Beach, there's a lot of palm trees over there, but yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, the first thing comes to my mind is us, because we go to the Yacht and Beach Club a lot, even if we don't stay there. We like to visit there. We like to roam the boardwalk area. And when we park at the Yacht and Beach Club and walk through the main, you walk into the lobby, then go out the back way there, go straight
Yep.
through in that lobby outdoor area, that
Right.
corridor. And then you walk out at the end and hit the water there. And there's all palm trees right there. That's when the white sandy beach. It's like I can see it now. I wish I was laying on it, not sitting here and waiting for this stupid snow to come.
Don't remind me.
So
What do
I'll
you
give
got?
you my next one, my good buddy.
All right.
And my wife came up with this one, and she told me to ask you,
Okay.
what's the first thing you think of when you go underneath the Disney sign on the first day of your trip?
Home again. I only want to see purple road signs for the rest of the week. I just feel like I'm in a safe haven once I go under the main gate there. It's just a feeling of whether we're driving or even if we're on the Magical Express bus. Either way, it's just a great feeling when you go under that, Walt Disney World sign and you start seeing the purple resort signs and, it's familiar ground and you're just so happy to be there and starting your vacation. And it's just a great, great feeling.
And I think everybody tries to take the picture. I mean, how many years have you driven through there and you tell your wife before you get there, get the camera ready, get the camera ready? You want that picture almost every time when you're driving.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing. If you remember, back several years ago, they used to have it so that you could like turn off right before the sign, and people would actually pull over and take pictures in front of the sign and stuff. They've since changed that, so there's no shoulder anymore because accidents were happening and
Yeah.
people were slowing down, and they've made it so that you pretty much can't. Pull over to the side. They took the shoulder away. On my last trip, it's kind of, the Magical Express bus driver, he actually, about a mile from getting there, came over the loudspeaker and said, "Oh, we're going to be, heading on a Disney property. Everybody get your cameras and your iPhones out." And he actually slowed the bus down to about 10 miles an hour going under there so that all the, not only the first timers, but, everybody that wanted to snap a picture of the, the big Walt Disney World sign could. So it's still something that I think every Disney fan, whether you've been there once or 100 times, gets excited when you get right to that point of getting on property.
40 some times, 40 some pictures.
Right. Everybody has at least, a dozen of those same pictures in their picture file somewhere.
Different time of the day, different sunlight, darkness, light, depending on what time you went through. It's so awesome. To me, it's like, first of all, you feel like you're going into a portal. It's like you're entering a whole new world. It's like all, it's weird, like all your troubles, all your craziness goes away, and it just calms you. You just feel like you just entered a special. There's something special comes over you, and it's like drinking a hot cup of chocolate on a freezing cold day. You know that warm feeling that goes through your body? You get like a feeling like that when you go underneath that little Walt Disney World sign. And there's something special, and it's weird too. Like last trip when we left to go out Ponciana Boulevard to go to my good friend Mrs. Goff's house, my second mother. We left to go. It's weird. Like you leave property, you feel like you snuck out, and as soon as you come back, you feel safe again.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about the Disney bubble, and there's no doubt that it exists. I mean, it's a real thing. At least it is for me. When I'm there on property, I probably shouldn't feel like this, but I just feel like, such a safe place, and nothing can go wrong. And like you said, all your troubles are 1,000 miles away back home, and you're just going to have a nice, week or however long you're there time at Disney World.
Yeah, it's like once upon a time, you feel like you're going into that portal.
Yep.
The only
Nope.
thing about Once Upon a Time is, do you watch that show, Dan?
I watched it like the first season. I haven't watched it since.
I still watch it because I'm a Disney geek, but it's kind of like, let them be happy for 1 week. It's getting to the point where every single week something goes wrong. Like when the f show first started, they would have happy times where nobody knew who they exactly were and people were actually enjoying themselves. Like now, every single week, a new character comes back to hurt somebody.
You got to have a villain, right?
But it's like, give it a week or two. It's just like, let them be happy for a week. Let them go have some fun. It's like, why would you stay there if you're not having any fun?
Right.
Leave. But give me your next one, partner.
All right. Again, I'm giving you a wide berth here. So, again, I apologize if I wasn't as specific as you were, but
There's no
okay.
rules to this game.
All right. What do you think of when I say wrought iron?
Wrought iron. I actually think of Port Orleans French Quarter.
Ding, 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 ding.
Is that what you were thinking too?
That's what I was thinking. So that's great that you came up with that.
That whole resort is just, it has wrought iron everywhere, and they're all different designs. It's absolutely gorgeous. If you go around and look at the craftsmanship of all the ironwork in there. It's amazing. Would you
Yeah,
disagree around that whole pool area, the whole nine yards?
no, I totally agree with you. And this is one resort I've never stayed at, and I've had the opportunity to. But again, like we keep saying, we fall in love with our favorites. I mean, I love Riverside so much, and at times I've had the choice either or, and I've always ended up at Riverside. But we've walked over to this resort, and we've went around the pool, we've gone inside, got the beignets, and you're right, the wrought iron work there, similar to, like down in Louisiana and all that stuff. I mean, I've never been there, but from pictures I've seen and videos and stuff, it's almost an exact replica of what you would see down there. So I think Disney did a great job at, replicating, what it would look down there like for Mardi Gras or whatever.
Oh, just all the music playing, the whole everything from top to bottom, tip to toe. You know what I'm saying? They have everything down to an exact replica. I mean, it's amazing. Like as soon as you walk in the front entrance area, there's wrought iron around, and it's everywhere. But it's so beautiful. It's just a beautiful, beautiful resort. We have the same problem, Dan. We love Riverside so much. We've done the day, but not the week. We've done it because we've gotten there a day early and we had to. And there's a special feeling about it, though. You feel close to, it's a special warm feeling because it's such a small resort.
Right, and that's why I think it's unique. And I know at times when we've taken the boat down to Downtown Disney on the way back, we've often get off at Port Orleans, French Quarter.
Yeah, and walk back.
Yeah, and walked through and went in the store. And back in the day when I was really into pins and stuff like that, I'd like to get to many of the stores. So, like I said, although we've never stayed there, we've certainly roamed around that resort. And the pool's pretty cool with the
The
dragon
dragon.
or whatever it is. And you got the Joker out there. And I know they used to throw, they used to have these coins that they would throw out from the boats. Years ago, my kids had a couple of them. They were like plastic coins, but they were like purple and gold. And there was something that said something about
Mardi Gras
French
on them.
Quarter. Yeah, something like that. It was just kind of a quirky thing. But I always remember the guy, either the boat captain throwing them onto the shore or vice versa. I'm not sure which way it was, but yeah, that resort is it really is a hidden gem. And I know on your last trip you went back and forth, you almost stayed there, but at the end or in the end, Riverside won out for you.
Yeah, the wife, the wife was the deciding factor. She loves Riverside, anywhere on Riverside. I think she'd stay in the old mill before she'd stay anywhere else if she had her choice. She just loves
Right.
her. It's home to her, and it's
Right.
home to me. I wish if I hit the lottery, I could buy one of the rooms. I'd stay in it. I mean, I'd be happy to walk around that resort every day. It would be heaven to me. But 2A, to think of another wrought iron would be the wrought iron in the glass at the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
No, that's a good one too.
Tell me that isn't some beautiful work.
Absolutely.
That, and they have it also in the Sinai restaurant in the glass.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But first thing I thought of was Port Orleans French Quarter.
That's where I was thinking, and you hit it right on the
Very good. I win the prize. What do I get?
I'll let you know later.
Okay. Your next one is the Mexican Pavilion.
What do I think of? Margaritas. I think of dark, like a cave. That pavilion's interesting to me because I like it. I like the little ride through Mexico there. I always do that. It's a fun little ride, but it just, I don't know. When you come out of the bright Florida sun and you go into that, I'm going to call it a marketplace down there where they sell all the stuff, it's just so dark in there and so different. And I don't say it like I don't like it. It's just different than any other pavilion there. So I think the first thing that I think of is, like I said, the little margarita bar outside and then the darkness inside the pavilion.
Okay. Mine is the restaurant, St. Angelo's Inn, sitting there with the volcano and all, with the boat ride going by.
Right.
Me and Brenda's eating there, and they actually have wrought iron along the edge there too.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, sitting. We've actually. Have you ever sat at the tables right there by the waterway?
Never, I've never eaten there.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, the food is really, really good, but it's like you got to be in the mood for it.
Right.
But they have some meat and potato kind of deals that you would like then, and I would highly recommend it one trip just to get the ambiance of sitting in there.
Right.
It's just very elegant. It's very nice. I think of it kind of reminds me of remember when we were kids, we'd go to the planet, the where you went inside to see all this, the planetarium.
Oh yeah,
Yeah,
right.
it kind of reminds me of a planetarium in there, the way they have the sky and all, like
Yep.
you're in an outside market at night.
Right.
You know, I think of the mariachi band, and I think of all the bowls and dishes and everything they have. It's just a beautiful marketplace.
Yeah, I mean they have the artifacts there, and they have the guy that actually cut. He have the wooden carvings, and then he paints them up, the little animals and stuff. Usually, he's actually doing some work if you take the time to kind of look around the different things. Yeah, you're right. There's definitely some unique stuff there that you can't get anywhere else. And again, I have taken the time to really stroll through that whole marketplace, and there's some pretty cool stuff there.
One of the things I never bought there, and I will one of these days, is because every time I go, I joke with it. I put a sombrero on my head, and one of these days I gotta buy one.
Yeah, I always get a kick out. You always see somebody walking around World Showcase with one of them big sombreros. But then again, in the Florida heat and the sun, they'll definitely keep the sun off you, that's for sure.
Absolutely, but I suggest one of these days, then, like, again, you jump out of your box and eat there. We've eaten there probably 5 times.
Okay.
We've eaten there, me and Brenda, a couple times alone. We ate there with my brother and sister, my sister-in-law and her boyfriend, and we've taken Brenda's mom there. So we've been there like 4 or 5 times. We enjoyed it. The restaurant's very nice. The whole atmosphere is really nice. So I would highly recommend it one of these times for you.
Yeah, I probably the thing that has kept us from eating there, to be quite honest, is Mexican food really isn't our most favorite food. So, if given the choice of Italian or, Le Cellier or some other fare, we usually, it'll win out over Mexican food. So, nothing to do with not liking the restaurant or anything like that. It's just not our favorite type of cuisine, if you will.
Yeah, well, they have a kind of a Mexican American kind of meals, if you understand what I'm saying. There's things that
Tex-Mex.
you could get things. There's like fried shrimp and stuff like that, grilled tilapia. They have mahi mahi in there. I've gotten the mahi mahi a couple times. So they have braised short ribs. So there's a lot of things in there that you would like, Dan, I think.
So it's not just tacos,
No,
burritos, quesadillas.
it's more entrees, Dan.
Right.
You know,
No,
yeah,
I'll
they
have
have
to
grilled,
consider that.
yeah, because the last time they had a grilled pork ribeye, that's what my brother, well, Tony, my sister-in-law's boyfriend got. I got the mahi mahi there a couple times. Brenda's got the tilapia, and then we've also shared. What we do is with the pure Mexican, we get the tortillas or something like that, or the gordillas or something for appetizer for everybody to split.
Right. No.
So I would say you should look at the menu next time you're there. It might be worth popping in.
Right. No, it sounds like I'll have to check that out.
All right, hit me with your next one, buddy.
All right. Again, giving you a wide berth here. What do you think of when I say fish?
Fish?
Yep.
Let me. I actually, the first thing that came to my mind was over at Epcot, the Coral Reef,
Okay.
the tank, the whole nine yards. I thought about eating there.
Okay.
The food is good. The last time we ate there, though, I have to admit, it was one of the, and I took my mother-in-law, my stepmother, and my father there.
Okay.
And it's been a while since I've been there, and I think we're still embarrassed from taking our 3 children there because everybody was hungry until we got to the restaurant, and me and my wife ordered these big entrees, and our 3 children ordered shrimp cocktails, and that's all they wanted.
Uh-oh.
And we felt like the parent that goes out and ordered lobster tail and the kid wants a hot dog.
Right.
We felt like morons. And then the waiter didn't help because he was real uppity.
Well, he was probably pissed because he wasn't going to have as large a bill and as big a tip if they would have got three entrees as opposed to shrimp cocktails, right?
Yeah, but he didn't know who he was dealing with, because knowing that, I'd have gave him like a $50 tip, because I
Right.
would, that's how I am.
Right. You would have made up the difference.
Exactly. He judged the book by a cover and got it wrong. The food was good, but we didn't enjoy it the way we should have because of the whole atmosphere.
Right.
But the first thing I thought of was the whole aquarium and all the what I mean to say, the atmosphere wasn't bad as far as the beauty of the restaurant. The tank is incredible. I think everybody should see the restaurant once, because
Oh, yeah.
it's a once in a lifetime kind of deal.
Right.
But that wasn't my favorite restaurant to ever eat at.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't come up high on my list, but yet, like you said, and I'll say this as well. I mean, everybody thinks seafood, 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 which again, the menu is, I would say, tilted in that direction, but you can get a steak and other offerings there if somebody in your party's not a seafood lover. So something to keep in mind if you're thinking about the coral reef.
Yeah, I just think of that whole area, the sea, the living seas with all the fish. It's just, that's what first thing came to my mind, and that's how the game is played.
Yeah, I did, who knows where you were going to go? That's why I gave you such a wide berth. I was thinking of a couple other things, but that's a great one.
What were your thoughts?
Oh, I was thinking of the old flying fish, or not the old flying fish, but the flying fish over at the boardwalk.
I've eaten there and it's awesome. I wish I'd have picked that. It has much better food than the coral reef. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. All right, you got one for me?
Yes, mine is kind of on the same lines as yours, but
Okay.
the word is dessert.
Dessert. Dessert. I am going to have to go for the bread pudding at Ohana. That's when I think dessert at Walt Disney World, that one in my mind is the be all end all. The only thing with that is you're usually so stuffed from eating skewers of meat that you can't get much of it down. But there's nothing like when they bring over that hot bread pudding with the sauce they put over it, and oh my God, it's just so filling and delicious, and
It's
that's
one of those
just
things where two bites in, you're full, but you
oh,
can't stop.
right. And you're eating it just because it's so good when you know you shouldn't be eating it just because you, like I said, you've been eating pork and chicken and steak and all the other entrees that come with it. Not entrees, but food that comes with your dining at Ohana. But that's what I when you said dessert, that's the first thing that popped into my mind is that bread pudding.
Well, my thing is, Dennis, put one skewer down and save room for the bread pudding then. Don't overstuff yourself.
I try every time because I know that's coming, but it never works out that way.
I hear you. I gave it, me and Brenda did it together, and the first thing we both thought of, and it sounds silly, is the chocolate cake throughout the resort. Now, how they have the chain same fresh baked chocolate cake throughout the entire resort.
Yep.
And I said this before, that I think it tastes the best at the Columbia Harbor House.
Right.
But there's just something about it that's one of the first desserts that we've ever gotten on property, because it came with the dining plan. Because I told you, me and her is never big dessert fans. But the dining plan actually turned us into eating dessert all the time.
Right,
And it kind of created a monster down there, because now we want more. But the chocolate cake came to her mind and mine first. We both thought of the same thing when I said it.
right.
But when I want to talk about the best, with me, it has to be at the Yak and Yeti, and it has to be the fried wontons.
Yeah, you've been beating the drum for those almost as long as the bangers and mash, so I definitely got to try them at some point.
Yes, that's my bread pudding. Is that good? And then I was surprised, though. I thought you were going to say the school bread.
Yeah, I look at that as more of a snack than a dessert. When you said dessert, I just, in my mind, I went to, after you have a sit-down meal, what you would order for a dessert. So that's why, I mean, I would have chose that. That's high up on my list of, snacks, I guess, if you will. But the bread pudding more came to my mind sooner than the school bread.
There's no wrong answer, so give me your next one.
All right. Again, wide berth here. What do you think of when I say the word reptile?
Reptile, I think of, and this is funny, I think of the alligator at the what you call it, the what's the restaurant? The Rainforest Cafe in downtown Disney.
Oh yeah, the big fake alligator in the right outside there.
And the reason I think of that is our very first trip, me and Brenda went to Downtown Disney, and my wife filmed me, and my brother-in-law actually thought that was a real alligator when we sent the video back to him. We t sent pictures of it back to him, and he couldn't believe it. He thought it was a real alligator.
Unbelievable, but yeah, that's a good one.
Just the way the angle was, so that's what I always think. That's the first thing came to my mind is the alligator at the Rainforest Cafe.
No, that's a great one. I figured you'd go over to Animal Kingdom, maybe the dinosaur or something like that, but that's a great one.
The only other thing, the second one would be, now that you said that, would be the alligators on the bridge on the Kilimanjaro Safari when they pretend you were going to fall in.
Yeah, there you
The
go.
crocodiles, the alligators, you know.
Back when the bridge used to shake.
Actually, it shook the last time.
Really? They
Yes,
fixed it.
I was shocked. We got stuck on the bridge a little bit. I couldn't believe it. Now, it could be bro. That's one of those things I think breaks every other week.
Right.
We
But
got
that
lucky
is,
the last trip.
yeah, that is a great feature. I mean, especially for first timers, that's always a, not a big deal, but it's kind of interesting to see their reaction when the bridge does a little shaking there.
I'll give you my last one.
Okay.
Last one is the American Adventure in Epcot.
What do I think of? Just being patriotic, I guess. Love that show. It's a must-do in my view, and it's a shame if you don't do it. But yeah, just seeing the Voices of Liberty in the hall outside, and if you're lucky enough to catch them, before you go in to see the show, that's always awesome, and it just kind of sets the mood for the presentation you're going to see inside. And as many times as I've seen that, it sounds corny or whatever, but as that movie goes on and the song kind of speeds up and gets louder, it just gives you chills if you're a true American.
Makes you proud to be an American.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and it's one of those things, when you look at it on the park map or you've seen it so many times, you might say, we can do without that. But I've never been sorry that I've gone in and seen it again. Because there's always, like I said, it just makes you feel good when you come out of there.
And you got my permission. If anybody, I mean anybody, is sleeping in there, you have Doug's permission. You can tell him Doug from WDW Main Street said, wake up.
Yeah.
Wake them up and tell them leave. Don't be disrespectful and fall asleep in there. That makes me very angry.
Yeah.
I asked my wife the same question before the show, and she said the Voices of Liberty. That was the
Right.
first thing she thought of. Now, me, I have a different answer. Mine was, it was two part. First thing I thought of is Benjamin Franklin and Mark Twain, because those two are the ones that narrate it.
Yeah.
They're talking throughout and all. But the other thing is it always sticks with me is the portrait of the two sons, one more blue and one more gray, in that song.
Yep.
There's just something about that song that chokes you up every time you hear. Am I wrong?
No, that's true. That's at the beginning of the presentation about the Civil War and all that stuff. Yeah, that's a great song, and well, a sad song really when you think about it. It's a family being torn with one son on one side and one on the other. But yeah, that's a great perspective.
Yeah, that's what I thought of. And the other thing is, is I love the fact that they actually show you the American Indian and show what they went through. Because me being, half American Indian, I have strong feelings towards you. And the American Indian standing there talking, and then when he's on his horse, it really choked me up. It's like I think the American Indian in this country gets forgotten myself.
Yeah, I mean Disney does a pretty good job of sanitizing the history of America, and not to get political here or whatever, but they could go a lot more, and even World War II when we dropped the bomb on Japan. I mean, they're trying to be sensitive to all countries and nationalities, and they could make a lot more of that, and they don't. And there's to be honest, there's a lot of things in our past as a country that maybe we're not as proud of as we should be. But again, it's a sanitized version, if you will, of
Oh,
the
it's an
history of our
inspirational. I
country.
think
Yeah.
everybody, it's a must do. I mean, when I book trips for everybody, that's one of the things I tell them they have to do.
Right.
And especially if you have kids, because it's a very great teaching tool. And like I said, I'm just proud that they show the American Indian in there, because a lot of times the American Indians are forgotten in our society nowadays. You know what I mean? You don't even, most people you talk to, you say Indian, they don't even think American Indian. And it's sad.
Yep, no
So
doubt.
what's your last one for me, buddy, so we can wrap this long show up, our Lou Mangiello show?
Yeah, this is going to be real easy, I think. But the color purple.
I think of Riverside. I
Really?
think of my animal, my little badge that I got the last time I donated, the Riverside, and the Riverside, all their color is purple. That's their logo color.
Okay.
If that helps,
No, no.
what do you think of?
I was thinking of the purple signs on property. We kind of touched on that on one of the other ones. The road signs, the
Absolutely.
purple and red signs that are unique to Disney. I think there's aqua on the signs as well, but those are
Absolutely.
so unique. You won't see them anywhere else in the world. And when I see that predominantly purple color, I know I'm at my
Your
safe
happy
haven.
place. Your
Happy
happy
place,
place.
exactly. But
Yeah.
that's a good one too, Riverside. And you're right, there is a lot of purple in the I think the new not the new logo, but a lot of the new the hats and the mugs and stuff like that, it has like a purple and black design on it. So you're absolutely right with your Riverside answer, Doug.
Yeah, I can't stay away from Riverside. Sorry, guys. If Riverside served bangers and mash and had the whatchamacallit, fried wontons, I would never have to leave that resort.
There you go. You wouldn't even need an annual pass or nothing. You could just stay there and be happy.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to be it for this week's show, guys. You got anything else you want to say, Dan?
No, that's good. That was fun.
I enjoy the first thing you think of. It's just good old fun. It lets us talk about all different things in the parks. And if you guys and I hope you guys play along at home. It's a lot of fun.
Sure is.
So check us out on Facebook, Twitter, guys. Please like us on iTunes. We really beg of you to do that. I mean, that's the only thing we're begging for. That's our payment. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. I know you guys are listening. Please go leave us a review. Go to our website, WDW Magical Main Street Memories, and please check out all of our sponsors. And that's going to be it for this week's show, guys. Have a great week.
See you next week, Doug.
Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.